Don't you like to be thought of as a regular sort of guy or gal? Don't you like to be accepted as one of the crowd? Don't you want people to think well of you? If you are as I, there is an awful lot of the world in you, as there certainly is in me. So Jesus says He's chosen us out of the world. And if we act like people who are not of the world is going to hate us because they sense judgment upon them in our very lives. But nobody hates us, at least not for being too unworldly. So if we are chosen out of the world to be a people with the agenda of Jesus, how are we doing? Let me give you an illustration of the kind of thing that we would be doing or might be doing if we were really using as our agenda the agenda of Jesus. Earlier this week, this past week, the General Assembly of our church was meeting here, and I was talking with some of the people from Argentina. They tell me that Argentina is in a terrible crisis. I knew that because it's been in all of our papers. Inflation is as much as 7% a day. Can you imagine that? I understand that most people today have 55% less buying power than they did a year ago. And what would it do to you if you suddenly, in a year's time, lost 55% of your buying power? So there has been rioting and vandalism of food stores, and people are simply desperate because often they are just hungry. But as a result of this chaos in Argentina, there is a spiritual vacuum. The people are desperate for spiritual reality in their lives. And they are open to the gospel in a way that they have never been open before. But do you and I have a heart for the agenda of Jesus to reach the world for Christ? Are our hearts broken because there are thousands and millions of people in that one nation alone who are desperate and who need Christ? Right now, there is an incredible opportunity to reach that great nation for the Lord. It takes two things. It takes missionaries, and it takes money. Well, our little denomination, 9 years old, doesn't have, at this point, trained missionaries who speak Spanish who can go there. If they did, it would cost us approximately $50,000 a year to put one in place there. Even if there were funds, there are no people. But let me tell you something really exciting. One of the people who came to the General Assembly was from Brazil. And he was the director of world outreach for the Presbyterian Church of Brazil. And do you know what? He came here because he said he had young Brazilian pastors who were trained, who were eager to be missionaries, and who wanted to go to Argentina to preach the gospel. But they didn't have the money. Do you have any idea what it would take to put a Brazilian missionary in a city in Argentina for just 1 year? Well, it would take approximately $5,000. And let me ask you this. Over and above the individual giving that you and I give to Central, over and above things, other things we might be doing for the Lord, how many of us, by genuine sacrifice, let me underscore, sacrifice, how many of us could support a missionary on our own? And how many of us, by real sacrifice, And I'm talking about the kind of sacrifice that would interrupt our lifestyle. Because that's what we're called to do, to be out of the world. How many of us could link up with another family and the two of us support a missionary? Now I'm talking about genuine sacrifice. Sacrifice where we literally have to give up something or do without something or put off buying something. You see, when we begin to think in those terms, we discover that not only are we not in the world, but the world is very much in us. Suffering turns out to be not very high on our priority list. Sacrifice is not something we're big about. We discover that as individuals, the agenda of the world is, after all, very much our agenda too. Could all of us together, over and above our present giving, put missionaries in Argentina? Well, I suspect there are 100 or perhaps 200 families, if they had a will to sacrifice, if they had a will to suffer for themselves for the Lord, if they had a heart that was cut and broken for the lost, who could each put a missionary in place. And suppose, just suppose by sacrificing, we were to put 100 or 150 missionaries into Argentina. What would it do to the future of that country? What would it do for all of South America? My point is this, you see, Jesus calls us out of the world. We're to be in it, but not of it. And the real problem is we're still in the world, and the world is still in us. Some years ago, this congregation was a part of a denomination whose agenda seemed to be the agenda of the world. We didn't like that. We wanted an agenda that was the agenda of the Bible. We said we were conservative and we were evangelical and we were Bible-believing and we didn't want to be a part of a church that wasn't like that. So we left. And now I want to ask you, what happened to us? Are you? Am I? Is our congregation any different than it was when we left? Are we doing any more than we were doing before now that we have a new agenda? Are there any indications of a deepening commitment, a growing self-giving, a widening influence for Jesus in the world? And let me say a word to you young people. We live in an increasingly complex and technical world, a world that makes growing demands and puts new stresses on people. And we need a lot of high-tech people with lots of intelligence and lots of skill and lots of training. But let me tell you this. Young people, in the next few decades, the greatest need will be for men and women that God calls out of the world to be in it but not of it. And the greatest leaps forward, the greatest discoveries in the years that lie ahead will be in the spiritual arena. And I challenge you young people to offer your life to Jesus Christ for His agenda. I challenge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, a reasonable service to God, and to commit to Him for full-time Christian service. If you really want to make your life count for something worthwhile, make it count for Jesus Christ. We live in a desperate world where millions upon millions are lost. And how we need brave young men and women who are committing to go and tell the good news. The ancient Greeks tell of a great warrior who faced a battle that would determine the future of their country. He had to send in his army against a foe which vastly outnumbered him. And he loaded his men and his equipment into their ships. He sailed to the enemy's shore. There he disembarked his troops, and he ordered that the ships that had carried them be burned. And he said to his men before they attacked, "See the boats going up in smoke. That means that we cannot leave these shores alive unless we win. We have no choice now. We win or we perish." We live in a world in which the foes of the gospel far outnumber us. And for those who are truly committed to Christ, there must be no turning back. We must burn our ships behind us. And that's the kind of commitment, young people, that the days ahead will demand of you. A story came out of the Soviet Union several years ago about a small underground church that was meeting. They had a secret meeting room, and the worshipers began to gather, ones and twos at a time. And when the door stopped opening anymore, the pastor began the service. And they were singing a hymn that was special to them. And as they were singing, the door suddenly burst open, and two Soviet soldiers with machine guns came and went to the front. They trained their guns on the people, and they said, "Those of you who will renounce Christ are free to leave. You will not be hurt. You must leave at once." They cocked their guns. A man and his family got up and left, and here and there others left, until finally the last who would go had gone. And then the soldiers put down their guns and said, "Praise God, we are Christians too, but we can only trust those who will give their lives for Jesus." How many of us this morning will give our very lives for Jesus? How many of us will so commit to Him that His agenda to reach the world for Christ will become our agenda? How many of us will commit our all to Him, who will let our hearts be broken for the lost, who will cry out with St. Paul, "Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel"? Yes, we're called to be in the world, but not of it. Or is the world in us? I believe it was Wadsworth who said, "The world is too much with us, late and soon. Getting and spending, we lay waste our powers." Had I been in that room in Soviet Russia when those soldiers entered and cocked their machine guns, had I been there, would I have stayed? Would you? Indeed, what is our agenda? Yours? Mine? Let us pray.